Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of April, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, Matt Bennett from Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, will be here to take a look at the farming world and the cash grain market. And then, as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at a warmer, although wetter forecast, that with Mike Tenor from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were lower, down a penny and a quarter in the May contract at 362 and a half. July at 366 and a quarter, a penny and a half lower. September down 2 cents at $3.72 and three quarters. In December, the new crop, or the harvest month, at $3.83 and a half, down 2 cents as well. March futures, $3.94 and three quarters, down two and a quarter. Soy complex, May beans, a dime lower at $9.78 and a half. July at $9.76, down 12. August, $9.71, 11 and a quarter lower. November beans at $9.52 and a quarter, down 9 and a half for the new crop. In January of next year, down 9 and a half at $9.58 and a quarter. Bean meal futures at $3.18.90, down 5.30. Bean oil 4 cents higher at $31.51. Soft red winter wheat at $4.74 even, down 9 and a half cents in the July contract. The harvest month hard red at $4.99. July off or down 10 and one half cents for the day. Live cattle futures from Chicago at $159.50 were down $1.30 on the afternoon in the April. The June at $149.60 also down $1.30. Feeder cattle for the day at $217.55 in the April, $1.02.5 higher, but the May contract was off 17.5 at $212.87.5 for 100 pounds. Lean hogs finished the May contract $77 and a nickel, up $1.72.5 in June at $81.45, 25 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can hear our programming anytime you'd like on our website on demand at your convenience. WILLAG.org is the address. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's check some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day at $59.37 a barrel, up 79 cents at this time. Heating oil at $1.97.4, 2 6/10 of a cent higher. That's diesel fuel. Gasoline on the RBOB, or wholesale price, at $2.04.8 of a cent per gallon, up 3 cents for the day. And natural gas now trading its lead option month, or the June contract, at $2.73.6, up 13 cents. Ethanol futures, a settlement price there in the lead option May contract at $1.61.9, a penny and 8 cents lower on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 214 points, 17,740. Gold futures around $1,182, down about $27.75 for the day. The dollar index at 94.695 is down 0.627. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly sunny, a high of 59 degrees on a north wind at 17 miles an hour. It will gust to 26 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, a low of 39. The north winds will continue at 6 to 14 and gust to 18. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 70 with a north wind at 6 to 8. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 49. Saturday, sunny and 75. Saturday night, cloudy and 54. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 76 degrees. Monday, partly sunny and 79 to start the work week. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Sunny and a high of 77. We'll have more on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It is the 30th day of April, 2015. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Dan Zwicker is on the phone line with us from CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Dan, thanks for taking the time with us. I know you've been watching the marketplace with great interest this week, especially as it might impact the technical side of the trade. What have you seen?
Well, the ag commodities are in this window here where we're basically planting the crop, so the trade is focused on a fairly rapid planting pace that's taking place across the growing region. Expect to see some pretty strong planting completion numbers there Monday afternoon. Then we got some rains that kind of move through early next week. And we'll see what kind of amounts those rains will be and how that may or may not impact the planting of the second half of the corn crop. And, we'll probably only be 15 or 20% planted on beans, so we've still got a lot of bean planting to go. But this is the main storyline, I think, in ag. As long as we're planting the crop, we're going to raise some kind of crop. We'll argue about how big it is or how small it is as we go down the road, but at least this is the initial phase of getting the seed in the ground, and we're off and running. So that's the main thing in commodities. Now, I do think if it wasn't for the seasonal nature of watching the crop being planted and expectations of a big production number, the commodities would probably be higher here today. Because we have seen a big sell-off in the dollar over the past several days, and that is perking up, as you mentioned. The energy prices are definitely responding to the weaker dollar. I'm not too sure, you know, the stock market is down sharply. I think it's probably a little bit of everything, slow economic news. It's got the stock market on shaky grounds. The Fed has pretty well pulled back on any kind of rate increase. So people that were betting on some rate increases that were on long the dollar, they're having to bail now. And we'll have to see, you know, how much this downward spiral continues. But we are going to close down underneath the March low. So we have really broken the back of that strong uptrend dollar that we've had basically in place, since last summer.
Do you think there is enough risk premium in new crop corn at this time?
Well, not really. Because the weather hasn't been such that we needed to build a risk premium. I mean, there was there a couple weeks ago where we were starting to worry about the southeast, the Ohio River Valley, but it was probably a premature worry. You just don't really lose corn acres during the month of April. I mean, if you're going to lose corn acres, you're going to lose acres during the last half of May. So there was a little maybe premium build into the market there 2-3 weeks ago when things didn't look like we were going to get started very quick, and then we had that round of cold weather last week up north. So I really don't think there's much of a risk premium build in this market at the moment because everything's kind of gone fairly smooth. I mean, Monday's numbers are probably going to show that we've caught up in corn. We're still probably going to be a little bit behind on beans, but it's still, this is the last day of April, and the planters are going to roll in the eastern corn belt, I think, up through the weekend, the way the weather forecast looks. Looks like the west will probably get chased out maybe Saturday or so. But we're going to have a lot of planting progress, so there's really no need to really have a premium, I think, in the market with the growing season, at least starting as well as it is right at the moment.
Okay, so your answer really was, and I had to think about that when you said not really and pause for a second, is not really, Todd. We don't need any risk premium in the marketplace at this time.
Right.
Okay, good enough. As we move forward, any concerns that the soy complex might fold more than it already has?
Well, we're still wrestling with USDA's March 31st stocks numbers. I mean, USDA did make some minor adjustments on the April balance sheets by raising ending stocks a little bit on corn, but that implied usage number that resulted to still have many traders looking for old crop corn supplies at the end of the day to be above 2 billion bushels. So that's a heavy drag on corn, especially with the corn planters really rolling. Now, over on soybeans, you kind of had a switch of the visuals on that March 31st report because the visuals showed that USDA is maybe carrying too big of a production number on soybeans, and our ending stocks level is much lower. And then we had the soybean planting number probably come in a little bit on the low side. So really, since the March report, you've seen corn struggle and drift lower, and you've seen soybeans basically try to climb their way a little bit higher. Now, how high soybeans can go on that, we'll have to see. But my guess is next week we're going to start, you know, hearing estimates of what USDA is going to map out on May 12th. I would think that the soybean market could find support from that because the trade still believes that carryover is coming down on old crop, and the new crop bean acreage number is still relatively small. And we'll have to see what USDA plugs in as far as yield goes. My guesses are going to be fairly lofty, but they may not be quite as lofty as what everybody's looking at. So the soybean market probably still has an opportunity to strengthen as we go into the first half of May or so, because we're still going to be planting the last half of the corn crop.
Okay, so a couple of things. We've closed out today, or the month today, and I was looking at the November chart. I think I've got these right. I'm sure I do. So the monthly had a hookup for the November beans, right? But our daily
the front month did close out the month a little higher. We did squeeze out a higher monthly close on the lead options. I don't think we did on the November or the other contracts. We maybe lost a penny or two for the month, so it really wasn't a terrible close, but it was. But the front end May contract did close higher for the month of April.
Are you sure? May sometimes I don't use a very good charting package, but I'll go with your charts on that one. But
okay, on March 31st, we closed May beans at it closed at 973 1/4. And we closed at 78.5. So we're up a nickel on the May contract. If you look at the July contract, we closed out March at 977 3/4, and we closed today at 976. So we're down a penny and 3/4
in July,
and then on the November. We had a chance of closing higher today if we would have held today's early advance, but on November we closed at 9:55 on March 31st.
Oh, and 9:52 1/4 today.
52 1/4. So yeah. We did have some higher monthly closes going for us in the early going, but you know the market fell apart and we ended up closing lower.
So you're worried about the daily outside down today and then the weekly?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's more of a kind of a congestion sideways in beans. I still think beans have a potential to rally. Now, seasonally, if you look back at normal seasonal patterns, soybeans has a decent shot at a rally during the first 10 days of May or so. So I guess I'm still going to kind of stick with that. Really, if you look at your intraday charts on all of this stuff, we actually closed pretty good when you look at a five-minute chart. So I think the stages are set here for us to maybe have a higher finish here to kind of close out the week.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Now, here's Dave Dickey with today's Ag News.
Members of Congress from both parties are asking the Obama administration to continue spending money fighting avian influenza. Lawmakers are worried because USDA has already received $60 million in claims to pay poultry growers for their losses out of a fund set aside of $84 million. The chairman and ranking members of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees wrote a letter yesterday to the White House Office of Management and Budget. The lawmakers want the Obama administration to allow USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack to use his Emergency Commodity Credit Corporation transfer authority to help mitigate the spread of the virus and limit the economic damages it causes to poultry farmers. The Agriculture Secretary chairs the CCC board, which gives the department authority to borrow money from the U.S. Treasury to pay for its spending. On Monday, Vilsack told reporters that the immediate goal in battling H5N2 virus was to slow the spread of the disease. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says Congress may be cutting too deeply into USDA's budget. Vilsack says that there were 105,000 people working for USDA 6 years ago and only about 85,000 now, a cut of more than 25%. Vilsack said, quote, "Congress can't continue to cut and still expect us to deliver the level of service that people in the countryside expect of us." A new Purdue University report says that the number of grain bin entrapments and resulting fatalities in the U.S. increased last year to the highest level since 2010, due in part to the large amount of grain stored on farm. There were 38 documented entrapments, resulting in 17 deaths in 2014, compared with 33 entrapments and 13 deaths in 2013. Entrapments were reported in 16 states in 2014. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Find us online at willag.org. A U of I ag economist has back-figured how the new farm program would have performed over the last 40 growing seasons when coupled to crop insurance. The calculations can be used as a guidepost to 2015 farm incomes. The exercise coupled RP crop insurance at the 85% level to the Arc County Farm Program to see how it would have supplemented farm income on a highly productive central Illinois farm located in Logan County. The numbers were run for a crop year starting in 1975 all the way through 2014, says Gary Schnittke. He's an ag economist at the University of Illinois and explains, to begin with, how this combination would have handled the years farmers are most likely to remember, 1980, 83, 88, and 2012.
So those were drought years, and, you know, while we didn't, particularly in 1988, we didn't have the crop insurance products that we did now, but if we would have a year like that, producer would take RP 85% or 80 or 85%, and also have Arc County as part of that, those years, those wouldn't be bad from a gross revenue standpoint. Crop revenues would be low, but crop insurance and Arc County would bring those back. And in particular, if we're looking at 88 and 2012 and potential crop insurance and payments and Arc County payments, it would be at the top end of our distribution for 2015.
Yields and prices in each of the 40 years are calculated using 2015 projections, but the actual year offsets. 2010, then, would show a lower actual price because this year's crop insurance price is lower than 2012's, but a higher actual yield. Essentially, you pick a year, adjust for 2015, and calculate the gross income. The middle point, where the distribution is not quite evenly split above and below, but close, is $828 an acre. The low revenue year forecasts correlate mostly with trend yields and lower corn prices, so with a somewhat normal growing season that has below average prices. That could be caused by large residual supplies, big carryouts, or by poor demand.
Poorer demand or something along that lines. So those types of years are the ones that cause us, will be the ones that cause us low revenue in 2015.
The 10 middle years of the set project 2015 gross revenues from $825 to $831 per acre for corn. They were each characterized by harvest prices and yields relatively close to expected levels, the February crop insurance price and trend yield. Those years include 1984, 1990, 1991, 96, 2002, and 2009. Check out the Farm Doc Daily website to read more from Gary Schnitke on this topic. Let's check out what Matt Bennett's been up to now. He is in Windsor, Illinois, and joins us to take up the cash grain market. He's with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds. Thanks so much, Matt, for taking the time with us. Last week on the farm there, you had not turned a wheel to put anything in the ground in terms of corn. How about this week?
Yeah, last week after the show, we actually went and checked a couple fields, and we decided we were going to start Thursday evening to see if everything would run right. We're almost done planting corn now, so we haven't messed around a whole lot. We didn't get much rain over the weekend. We were very lucky. We got less than a tenth out everywhere we farmed.
Well, you went from 0 to 100% in what we'll count them as 8 days. That's going to throw off the USDA's numbers.
Yeah, I know. A lot of guys have been hitting it really hard, you know. And as well, you know, my dad is planting beans while I'm planting corn, and I know a few guys are planting beans. There's a lot of beans planted in my immediate area, so you know, there's guys that haven't planted a bean yet, but yet I see several fields have been planted as well.
You feel like everything went in really well?
I do. I think everything has gone in quite well. You know, it was one of those things where we were wet for quite a while and a little bit cold, and then we just kind of reversed our fortunes here in the last couple weeks, and everyone's been able to get going, and it's been a really nice thing. So I think it's gotten everyone, like Dan was saying, we're going to be caught up, I think, on corn. And then on beans, you know, it's awful early. A lot of us like planting these early beans. They've done good the last few years, but it's not necessary to have it in the ground in April either.
Just a very quick word about the marketplace and what your thoughts are at this time.
Yeah, I think I'm probably a little more friendly as far as the corn goes. I think that we do need to get more of a weather premium in the market at some point. I think it will be coming. And then as far as soybeans go, I'm probably not quite as friendly, but I could see us getting a little bit, you know, a little bit of a bounce in beans, you know, as Dan said, maybe relative to corn. It, you know, the ratio has been awfully good, and I think at some point that thing's really going to reverse.
All right. Hey, we'll talk with you again next week and see how far along you are. Matt Bennett is with Windsor, or in Windsor, Illinois, with Channel Seeds, and Bennett Consulting joins us on the closing market report for a Thursday afternoon. We'll check the weather forecast in just 2 minutes with Mike Tenora.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Robert Fitzroy died. A British naval officer and meteorologist, Fitzroy devised a storm warning system that was the prototype of the daily weather forecast. He also invented a barometer and published the weather book. In 1872, Louis Pasteur lectured at the French Academy of Science in support of his germ theory of disease, in which he held that many diseases were caused by tiny organisms. In 1904, the Louisiana Purchase Exposition opened in St. Louis. It was at the fair that the ice cream cone was reported to be invented. The hot dog and iced tea were also popularized at the fair. In 1952, Mr. Potato Head is introduced to the world. The original Mr. Potato contained 70 body parts. The parents had to supply children with real potatoes for the body. Mr. Potato Head was the first toy to be advertised on television, and the advertising blitz netted Hasbro more than $100 million in the first year of production. Mrs. Potato Head came a year later in 1953. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago is here to take up the weather forecast, which, Mike, appears to be maybe a little warmer and have a little bit more rain in it. Tell me about it.
It will turn notably warmer as we go forward. We can see the temperatures over the next 10 to 14 days and maybe even a bit longer than that will be more similar to the first half of June than the first half of May. Now, that might seem a bit surprising considering how cool it is today, but the weather we have right now is more than likely going to be the coolest of the next several weeks and potentially the coolest for the rest of the growing season, at least leading into the fall. We do have a very sharp warm-up that begins over the next 2 to 3 days, and that will send temperatures into the 70s and 80s across a large portion of the central U.S., including most of Illinois. Nighttime temperatures will also be mild. We won't be seeing lows in the 30s and 40s like we have been lately. We'll be seeing low temperatures in the 50s and 60s. This is much warmer than normal for this time of the year, and because of that, coolness will not be a limiting factor for corn, soybean, or spring wheat planting, or for wheat development in general. So all in all, temperatures going forward will be nearly ideal for May. The one flip side of this is that it turns notably wetter as we go forward as well. It's a bit unusual to see warm weather accompanied by wet weather, but that is the situation that we're looking at, beginning as early as Sunday and Monday across the northwest half of the Corn Belt, and then across a large portion of the plains starting on Tuesday, and then the rest of the Corn Belt Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. So 1 week from right now, we'll more than likely be talking about just how wet it's been across a large area. The one exception to this, though, is for areas primarily from southern Illinois, southern Indiana, and southern Ohio onto the south. This area will not be seeing very much in the way of rainfall over the next 7 to 8 or maybe even 9 days. Recall that a large portion of that region was unseasonably wet over the last several weeks and months, so this is very well timed for them. We don't think we'll see too much in the way of a planting problem from the Delta into the southern Corn Belt over the next week or week and a half. After that, all bets are off, though, as it does look to turn quite a bit wetter. So, Todd, this is just a rather interesting forecast for this time of the year. This is the type of stuff we typically would see in the first half of June, not really in the first half of May.
Do we have an indication in the northern and western part of the Corn Belt next week of how much rainfall or precipitation might actually accumulate?
Well, we think that there's going to be a fairly widespread swath of 1 to 2 inch amounts across most of the plains, most of the Corn Belt, and most of the Delta over the next 10 to 12 days. Some areas should be even a little bit wetter than that. The areas that would most likely be wetter are across the northwest half of the Corn Belt, primarily to the north of Interstate 70 and more into that Interstate 80 corridor, especially Nebraska, Iowa, and into northwest Illinois. The main reason for that is simply because not only do we have a large and wet system moving through over Tuesday and Thursday of next week. We also have thunderstorms Sunday and Monday coming up. So they kind of see two good chances for rain as opposed to one. And quite honestly, we don't see this pattern ending through mid-May. So we think it's going to turn quite a bit wetter.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great day.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, helps us wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.